Broadcasting live from the Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall, this is RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Getting wild with our last broadcast from Buffalo Wild Wings, and a special show lined up tonight as part of a Dine and Donate program to benefit the Miller Keystone Blood Center, which is a great charity in the Lehigh Valley. For more information on that, go to the RCN TV website for information, ways to help donate, and have a great time at the same time. Good evening, everyone. I'm Chris Michael. It is our last show from Buffalo Wild Wings. We have some other great remotes coming up later this summer. More details on that to follow. But we have a very special show here tonight. We had some lovely ladies last time we were here, state champions from Moravian and Bethlehem Catholic. Tonight we have some great, tough men to talk with. And, of course, leading the pack here as we introduce the co-host of the program, senior sports writer at The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Edward Groller.
Great, tough men. Murph.
Number one.
You talking about Murph? I can't wait.
This
is going to be some kind of show here tonight. I mean, these are some of my favorite people. Some of my favorite
people are
across the parking lot at the Lehigh Valley Mall. They're not really here, but I'm going to pretend I like these guys. No, these are great people. The TOC, a staple in Lehigh Valley summertime sports. Great event. Can't wait for it at the Caddy Playground.
We have some great people here at the main table. We have some more great players. We're going to be rotating in here as the show goes along. But let's get to our guests to lead off the show. From right to left, Joe Murphy, James Snyder, and James Bogdan. Welcome to talk about the Caddy Tournament of Champions. Joe and Jason, you were there from the beginning. And James gave me my first T-shirt at the TOC Championship game. We broadcast the game for many years with Twin County and RCN TV. So it's a pleasure to have all three of you guys up here to talk about when it all started. And Joe, I know you're going to talk the rest of the segment, so go ahead.
Unfortunately, we only have an hour. Now, this all started like 28 years ago. James's dad and Warren Winch, summertime, there were a lot more leagues 28 years ago than there are now. And there was a lot of competition from city to city and town to town. And when they started this, there were probably 16, 18, 20 teams. That has dwindled down. There's no longer a team from Washington or Easton or Bethlehem or Northern Lehigh. I should say Northwestern. Some of the upper teams, Tomaqua, Summit Hill, they've all dropped by the wayside. Early on, we had a team from Lancaster come in, basically loaded with Division I players, and they would win every year because they loaded up with Division I players. But that's how the whole thing got started. Most people don't realize that the money that is donated by the sponsors on the back of the shirt actually goes for good. They have they pay for programs that run at the Catastrophic Playground. They have a hot dog day for the kids. They buy equipment for the kids. So it's actually a good thing for the community of Catasauqua.
Very good, Murphy. Only took about 20 minutes, not an hour. But, hey, look, you ought to identify the guy to your right. You said his father. His father, of course, is Eric Snyder, the longtime and very successful high school basketball coach at Catasauqua High School, also an excellent guidance counselor. And actually began, and James, maybe you could speak to this. I did the story 28 years ago. I didn't really know your father very well back then, but he had a dream. Now, other people dream of other things, maybe a little bit more exciting, but his dream was kind of literally a dream came into his head there that kind of spawned this thing, and he said, wouldn't it be a great idea to bring together all these adult league champions in one big tournament, bring them to Catasauqua, and just close out the summer with a wonderful tournament? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah,
I think I have it right.
Yeah, I actually never heard the story until about a week ago. He told me about it. He's like, yeah, one night I was sitting at home and I thought of this because there was a lot of banter between the champions of each league saying, oh, our league was so much better than your league. So he said, why not play? And then that's how the whole thing started. Like you said, 28 years later, here we are. As Murph's shirt says, it used to be a lot bigger, but with the leagues dying down, it's kind of a shame. But we still have it. It's still prosperous, and it's still, like you said, a staple in Lehigh Valley sports.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Murph, but it began, I think, even though you had all these different leagues, Eric, I think, held the first tournament to like 8 teams, and there was a waiting list. People wanted to get in. And then it blossomed, I think, to like 16, and you expanded a couple different nights here. I think it was like a 2 or 3 night thing, and then it turned into 4 or 5, right? Something like that.
Yeah, best of my recollection. It was always
really
Sunday, Monday, Monday through Friday or Sunday through Thursday.
But I thought Eric told me on the radio, I have a radio show on Sunday, and he was on this past Sunday, that it began with like eight teams. But and he found out quickly that he could have 12, 16, maybe even 20 at that time.
In addition to a team from Lancaster, we also had a team coming up from Pottstown, Wilkes-Barre, Scranton. And that's all kind of gone by the wayside.
Well, yeah, and Jason Bogdan, I don't want to take Chris. Jason Bogdan, you are the man.
He was from the beginning, yeah.
You were the North Caddy. You run that North Caddy League. How are the numbers right now? Are we getting the guys? Look, at basketball, as you know from your activity at the Sports Fest A-Town Throwdown, basketball really prominent right now. A lot of interest. The Summer League's wrapping up this week. Basketball is really big in the Lehigh Valley right now. A lot of interest. How about on the adult level, the guys that, are out of high school, they still coming around?
Well, it helps them to continue their progress in their careers and stuff. If they're not going to play college, get a Division I scholarship, or vice versa, they actually can still continue. And they're playing in multiple leagues. I mean, they're not just playing in my North Caddy League. They're playing in Caddy. They're playing over in Stiles, over in Whitehall, so on. They just opened up the Allentown League this year that Mike Pina and Ron Lacey just opened up this year, so it's a nice thing to see something there reopening from all these closures with all these leagues shutting down because of townships ending the programs or there's not enough interest. It's a great thing to see, and the North Caddy program I know has gone on for years and years, and we basically are like together as like a brother type of thing because we're only 2 minutes down the street from each other, so there's guys playing down in North Caddy, then they go down to Caddy and they play a game down there, and it's just a wonderful thing of how it goes with it, and it's still be able to go on.
Now, you worked with Bill Derricott, too, in the South Whitehall Township League.
I started in South Whitehall in 1989, showing my age a little bit there. I finished my 28th year. I did 24 years at South Whitehall before they closed the program, and then I finished my fourth year at North Caddy. So I've done 28 years, and then along with being scorekeeping for Southern Lehigh in the Colonial League with Ben Tanis, and doing also it with with Brett McCarthy in North Anna Community College. I have a busy year all around constantly.
And you're busy at Cedar Beach all summer long. Whether you're cooking for the Allen Canaries or you're barking out instructions on Court 1 during the A-Town Throwdown, you are...
He doesn't bark. He doesn't bark, right?
He's nice, he didn't smooth. Bark this year.
He has a nice smooth voice.
He didn't lose his mic check. He lost his bark on Saturday during the tournament, right? You lost your voice.
Well, when you're yelling across a court in Allen for two nights in a
That's
row,
right.
That doesn't help. And the weather, as we're predicting again tomorrow, having some beautiful weather again, it's not going to be a good thing there with that. But there's not much you can do, but you go on with it and you do what you need to do.
At one point in time, and I'm thinking of one guy in particular, Ron Hassler at Whitehall High School, he would take the Zephyrs. The Zephyrs wouldn't come in to a high school league. He would put them in adult leagues, toughen them up, go against older guys, learn the ropes, learn the nuances of the game. I believe Doug Snyder this year at Allen did that. All right, James, I'll go back to you. Do you see these guys, some high school guys, some high school coaches still seeing the value of adult league, Bella?
Not many. Like Doug Snyder, it must be a Snyder thing because my dad has the high school team in it as well. And it's actually funny because I remember my first game ever in a summer league. Brent Williams back there, he might not remember this. My first ever game, I was going to ninth grade, bringing the ball up two times in a row. He stole the ball from me. And I was devastated. But Allen actually beat us this year. It's amazing. You can see the separation of the good players versus the great players in the men's league. Like Allen had a few guys, Talik and Tyrese from last year, they dominated us. But you can see the growth and the maturity in people when they play in adult leagues.
James, I don't know if you heard about this, but I remember when it was the 25th anniversary of the Tournament of Champions, there was a few people in the caddy community that said, hey, you had a good run, it's 25 years, maybe that's a time to cap it off and just call it a career or retire it or whatever. And he kept it going. I was so glad he did because it's so much fun to have people come back, people like yourself, people that are here and we're going to be talking with later. It's fun to see you guys come back. You're still playing at a great level. It's great to see you guys interact. Maybe you could talk a little bit for yourself and also for Eric. Why does he keep it going and he's going to continue to do it? Why does he keep coming back year after year?
Well, exactly like you said, basketball is a very community-oriented sport. We're all buddies after the game. We go head-to-head at each other's throats during games. But, we'll joke and laugh after games. And so many players are on different teams and different leagues. One guy will be on Olson's team in Caddy and then on Pammer's team at North Caddy.
And it's very neat. Tough to broadcast, too, when you guys switch teams like that. But go ahead.
And it actually might not work out for us because potentially we might be playing. The Halls are on our team. We might be playing them in the second round. Actually, all three of our teams are in the same bracket. There's two brackets. We're in the top part. But it's just neat seeing like everyone play against each other, and it's the same people. So it's the same good, intense competition.
I want to get Murph in here, though. Murph, I'm back. By the way, those colors look good. I mean, the brown looks really good.
Anything but the tie-dye. I didn't like the year you did the tie-dye.
I like all the shirts, actually. But anyway, Murph, talk about Catasauqua, what this tournament means to the community. I it's a traditional community. It's still one of those places where everybody knows your name, like the Cheers Bar. Has it lost anything? Does it still support an event like this TOC?
Just as most attendance in any athletic event is dwindling, it's dwindled somewhat with the TOC, depending on the teams involved. I'll say, I lose track of time, 3-4 years ago, William Allen was in it. I don't know if they were invited or if they won a league, but the attendance was fantastic when the high school team was involved. Sometimes you get these guys show up and it's a wife and a girlfriend and maybe a mother and a father. You still get the old cronies from Catasauqua come down, regardless of who's playing. They're there to watch basketball, and they're there day and night.
Well, I was a little disappointed. I don't know if I covered it last year, but I think 2 years ago I was up. The refreshment stand wasn't open. I need that refreshment stand to induce Keith Greller to be there.
That's a political thing.
I'll talk to my dad about it.
Okay. It's a family affair. There's the guys there that want to announce. They want to keep score. I think it's a neat thing.
And those people all volunteer.
Yeah, and they volunteer because they want to be there. They want to be involved, right?
Danny Paczynski, Dennis, what's Dennis's last name? Dennis Enninger, they're all volunteers. Put their time at the table on hot, stinky nights.
Well, we hope you get outside. I mean, it's been one of the rainiest summers, or at least the rainiest months of July that on record. And the summer league basketball, we had several nights in both of the high school tournaments that had to go inside. The summer league's been inside more than it's been outside, Jason Bogdan. But you know there's something special about summer outdoor basketball.
Well, my whole league this year, I made it an outdoor league this year. So had about 4 or 5 cancellations and had to make some adjustments and stuff, especially with this past week that we had to cancel Thursday because of the weather, and then we had to move some things around. But it's supposed to be outdoors. It should be outdoors. When you play inside, I did go inside on Monday night, and it was a three-fest in the Caddy Middle School gym because it's, what, 10 feet short? How short? Shorter? 10 feet short, you think?
Perfect gym to play in.
Perfect gym to play in for James Snyder.
It's good gym for older guys.
So they have to run as far. But anyway, it's meant to be outdoors, and especially with Overdare, and their park is beautiful. You got the pool over there at Catasauqua. You got the playground that they just recently got done a few years ago. You go over to my court, at North Caddy, they just got a big grant last year. Redid a whole brand new thing with their park over there. My courts were supposed to be redone and get new backboards and rims, but the weather hindered that, so now it's going to get pushed off after Labor Day. You got the volleyball league that runs 5 nights a week over there, so you got an active park and you got cheerleaders going on and baseball and all that. It's a family-oriented, beautiful thing. Doug Snyder, which we'll talk with that, he compliments that all the time. He said how wonderful it is in this part of that small niche of the 2,000 square feet North Caddy is that you have all that activity going on every night over there.
I also think, and maybe you guys can, James and Mr. Murphy here can speak to that, I think RCN coming aboard and televising these championship games has been a big plus. It has given that extra oomph, that extra bit of exposure. And if you're an RCN viewer, you can see the crowd down there. You can see the quality of the basketball. I think RCN's played a nice role in this thing.
You are correct.
Well, there you go. I'm not going to dispute that. What do you mean? Nuts?
He'll get another free shirt out of it.
You know what? That's good because Tom Stout the last 2 years has stolen my shirt. He's taken 2 shirts. So I'm about due for one. You know, I probably shouldn't reveal this, but I can clearly admit the best place to watch it, you can watch it on RCN if you want, but it's great to see it in person. But the best spot there is in ref plots, and that is sitting next to Joe Murphy, who a couple times over the years you've let me do for some of the semifinals, and I get to sit there and I get to listen to Joe give commentary on players, on the officials, on life in general. It's truly a great way to watch a game. So how much do you charge to, for people to sit next to you during the Tournament of Champions games and listen to you?
It depends on your salary.
That's why you let me there for free the last couple of years.
You can tell he's a referee worrying about money. So,
but it is, it's really a lot of fun to be there. I know James kind of talked about the camaraderie. I think the referees enjoy being there too. There's a lot of smiles. Sometimes there's arguing. So it can get heated at times. But I think at the end of the day, everyone kind of smiles and shakes hands and enjoys the experience.
Usually at the end of the night, players and referees both come over to ref plots for the replace their fluids, because we have fluids over there to keep your fluids up. Fluid retention is very important. So when the games are over, they tend to they'll come over and have a couple and talk about things.
So we only have a couple more minutes left with you guys, but just wanted to get your thoughts on this year's team. And, you know, as I said, I hope Eric continues it for many more years. But is that something like you're looking to be a part of? James, you being the youngest here, I hope you're a part of it for a lot more years to come.
Well, I'm playing in it again this year, which is awesome. It's a dream come true for me because, like you said, I remember running over the shirts to you when I was
And Dick
three
Tracy
feet
loved
tall.
That, too. He loved talking to you and the other little kids there on the air. He really enjoyed
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. Now playing in it, like, you know, it's neat being on the other side. But my dad's a very big man on tradition, so there's no way he's ending this. And if he ever does, you're probably looking at the guy right now that will take over.
I hope he continues it forever. And just like I hope the Caddy Northampton game goes on forever. I know it's lopsided in terms of enrollment, but that's still the only place I want to be on Thanksgiving morning is either Urdesy Field or Alumni Stadium or Alumni Field. So hope that continues as well.
All right, Jason Bogdan, James Snyder, Joe Murphy, thanks so much for coming in. You're welcome to come back and interject throughout the program, though.
Thank you so much. Good to see you guys.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to bring in some more players here from the Caddy Tournament of Champions, some outstanding players in attendance here to talk about their memories and also the upcoming tournament that'll be starting in about 10 days. But as we head to our first break, Phillies' Holby Milner has been one of the bright spots in the Phillies' bullpen since his call-up late last June. We had a chance to catch up with him and ask him about his first month in the big leagues.
I was in my hotel room in the morning at some point before we went to the field. And Dusty knocks on the door, and I wasn't expecting any guests. It was kind of weird. We opened the door for him, and he's like, "Hey, Milner, you're going to the show." First few days, real nerve-wracking for me. I didn't get in for 5 or 6 days. Once I finally got in, I kind of got a little more comfortable, and over the past, I'd say, week or so, it's starting to feel more normal, more like I'm back in AAA, just like another day at the field. I haven't really tried to make adjustments up here. I've been trying to do what I did to get here, and because I was successful the past couple of years doing what I've been doing, and trying to carry that over, see how it works here, and if it doesn't work, then make adjustments from there. Second half, I'm just going to try and continue to do what I did the first half, and hopefully stay up here for as long as possible and have success, and we'll see.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, our final broadcast from Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall, part of the Dine and Donate program to benefit the Miller Keystone Blood Center. More information on the RCN TV website, rcn.com/RCNTV. We're talking Caddy Tournament of Champions, past and present. Some great players joining Keith Grohler and myself for segment number two. From right to left across your screen, we have Brent Williams, Ed Lipinski, and Eddie Olson. Gentlemen, thanks so much for making some time out and spending an evening with us here at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Thank you.
I want to ask about your playing careers in just a moment. But first of all, what's it like to come back and play in the Caddy Tournament of Champions? We talked about the camaraderie. You guys still play at a high level, and you're fun to watch when you guys get together.
I guess I'll take that one. I'm not sure it's a high level, but, you know.
Most nights.
We play against each other, I mean, almost on a nightly basis. Playing several different leagues, and you know, it's fun. It's very competitive still, you know. And afterwards, we talk about games. We laugh about it. I mean, we were sitting back there talking about games we've played in, you know, talking about college days, high school days. We've all played against each other and played with each other. So, you know, it's just a fun, you know, opportunity to still get out there, play, stay in shape or try to stay in shape, I guess, to some extent. But it's still fun, and we enjoy it.
And it's pretty intense. When the ball goes up, you guys are pretty intense about winning.
Absolutely. I mean, I think these guys can, you know, we're talking about playoff games we played in this past week, and, you know, if call would have went this way or we would have made this shot or, you know, it's definitely without a doubt still competitive.
Brent, you played at Easton High School. You grew up in this Lehigh Valley scene. You played college ball at Eastern. Tell me about the difference of playing in an adult league now than what you. Eddie said fun. Is it fun for you? Seems like high school is fun, but sometimes it's pressure. Certainly college can be a lot of pressure too.
I think I love it. A lot of competition. I really feel it is fun. It's great to get out here and play against guys I played against in high school, even college. It helps I'm a lot smarter player now than I was in high school. So I always said that once my speed goes, I think I'm going to stop playing. But right now I'm just having fun enjoying being competitive at the summer league level, because that's the next best thing besides actually playing high school or college basketball.
What I have seen when I've seen the TOC and when I see some of the other summer tournaments, I know the Stellar Tournament used to have an adult division. It gets pretty intense, and it gets the guys really get on the referees. There's not a lot of guys who want – you need former players like Lacey and Pina, who run that one league now, to kind of control things, because the guys want the calls. It doesn't matter if you're 34 or 14, you want the calls.
I mean, if I get hit, I definitely want the foul call. But now that I'm older, I actually can talk to a referee as opposed to high school or college, where your coach lets you know, don't say anything to him at all. So now I can actually speak to him. I might get a little bit too emotional, but yeah, if I get hit, I definitely want the foul call.
I want to ask Ed Lipinski about his playing days, because he was a stretch for. Nowadays, you hear that term all the time, and you hear about, you know, NBA. Oh, now we're going to have a stretch four and guys who can shoot the three. You were a guy. You were big. You could defend. You could rebound. But you had about as great a 3-point shot as a lot of great 3-point shooters in the history of DeSales University. But you could knock them down with the best of them. Well, how did you get your style of play before the current trend of the stretch fours that are now out there today?
Yeah, it's funny. I come from the area, came from Upper Perk, and was more inside. Then I got to the sales, and it was just run and gun, and that's where it came from. And playing with this guy, with Eddie, if it was basically get up and down the court. So if you can get the shot up, you can shoot. There's a place to play at the sales. I mean, you got to defend a little bit, but that's really where it came from. And it was really before the stretch four came into play, I think. And I could play the four to the five, but get up and down the court, that was really where it came from. And I still try to do that now. It's just a little tougher as you get older, so I'm learning.
I want to get your take, a little bit off topic, but what do you think of the current game right now? Maybe at all levels, but certainly you two guys in particular. I know, Eddie, you coach high school anywhere?
I used to, but not anymore.
Okay. Yeah. I know Eddie's involved. You're involved at the high school. What do you think of the state of the game right now?
Well, going off the league this past season, I thought the EPC was really, really talented. A lot of really great players, but that inside presence – almost is no more. It's more get up and down, run and gun. We at Eastern were very fortunate that we were really big.
Really nice big guys there, too.
Yeah, we were really big in the front line, but then again, our guys weren't back-to-back guys to play basketball, so we more want to go down the floor, head under the floor, maybe get an easy bucket or two. But the game now has definitely changed since I played.
Yeah,
I got to agree with that. And I think a little bit has to do with the influence from the NBA. You know, everyone goes and watches the Warriors play. You know, they hit a ton of threes a game. They shoot a ton of threes a game. You know, their four-mans are shooting threes. Their five-mans are shooting threes. They're playing smaller. Kind of like what Brent said, the back-to-the-basket big man I think, making its way back. But for a while here, I think it's kind of disappeared a little bit.
I coached at the sales, actually, for the first half of the season with Scott. He asked me to come back. They had four freshmen come in, and just literally my job every day was to work back to the basket stuff. I would come in, I'd help, you know, 15, 20 minutes of the individual improvement, and it's not there because high school coaches aren't coaching, unfortunately, because every 6'5" man who's a center, Division III center or Division II center, wants to face up and wants to shoot. And it's just not there, unfortunately.
We might see the big guy come back in your division this coming year. I mean, he's already here. I mean, he's one of the most recruited players certainly in the area, maybe on the East Coast. I'm talking about Ryan Young, who might touch 7 foot before he's done. He's a big guy. He's got some nice hands. He's got some nice inside moves. He could bring the big guy back this year.
Yeah, Ryan Young is definitely a very nice player. We're actually speaking about that probably about 2 weeks ago because we're going to be small at Easton, and we're looking at other teams to see that what would be a troubled matchup for us inside, and he's definitely the first name that came up. So I believe that he's definitely going to keep improving, and if he keeps working on his game, I think he's going to be a very good player at the next level as well.
I want to ask, maybe you don't know him at all, I mean, Upper Perk, this kid, Ryan Kender, scored 37 points the other night.
Yeah.
I know I keep a scoring chart in the wintertime, and we still, by the way, we still consider Upper Perk part of our area. We don't get down there very much anymore. My first Thanksgiving Day football game was Upper Perk Soderton back in 1981. Wow. But anyway, Upper Perk, I know where it is.
Yeah.
Ryan Kender, tell me about him.
So I actually was the head coach there. I was the head coach there about probably a 4 or 5 years ago, and it just threw a career move. Just couldn't stay there as a matter of teacher. And the kid's got, from what I know, everything. I've seen him play a few times, inside, outside, works really hard. And I know he plays football there too, and he's a total athlete. So he'll do really well in the Pac-10, and I think he's got Division II, III level talent for sure. There's no question.
You know, Keith talked about the game changing, and you guys have all talked about the game evolving. Is it tough for athletes nowadays because you have a high school coach, they make preach one way, and then you go to AAU, and then there's camps, and they teach another way. And then, as Eddie said, you're watching Golden State, and those guys are having success just stepping back and shooting threes. Is it tougher now, do you think, that the kids to really hone in and, you know, try to improve their game because they're getting all these influences from different sources?
Absolutely. AAU plays a huge part in development. Maybe not for the better, and maybe not for the worse. It depends. A lot of kids are playing a lot of basketball right now. So there are a lot of influences, you know. So I know Brent could probably speak of this. When it comes to the high school season, you know, we have to almost program them to play our way, and it takes time, a little bit, probably more than we want to, you know, put in. But it's one of those things. As coaches, we know we're going to have to. But the game's developing, and it's a lot of exposure for college, and it's tough to tell kids not to play AAU basketball because there is, as far as college-wise exposure, it's there. And, you know, there's a lot more opportunities for kids nowadays, and they have to take advantage of it.
I want to get your take. I mean, I know back in the day when Ron Hassler was at Whitehall High School, he would always put his kids in, and that's an old Dick Tracy thing about taking kids and putting them in the adult leagues. Do you see maybe more high schools maybe going that route to toughen up their kids a little bit? I know their schedules are very, very busy in the summer. That's part of the problem.
I think that's part of the issue. You know, I know at Parkland we've talked about it. You know, it is up for discussion, you know, year in and year out, especially, you know, as far as talent. You want to still compete when you're in the adult leagues. And I know Allen, Caddy still competes in the adult leagues. And it's not a bad route, I could argue for and against it at this point. Future-wise, I could see more teams going towards the adult league.
How about you, Brent?
Personally, I actually like the high school teams playing in adult leagues. When I was in high school, we actually did play in the Washington Basketball Summer League, and we were very competitive, probably a little under 500, but I felt like it made us tougher, made us take more hits going to the basket. Calls that you normally get in high school, you won't get in a summer league. So I actually like the idea of playing summer leagues with your high school kids.
Before we let you go, I want to ask this question. This might be the toughest question because, Brent, you're a great guard. You had great court vision when you played. Eddie and Ed, and it seems like everyone at DeSales, that you pass the ball so well, you have great court vision. I don't know if we see that as much nowadays at the high school level, that basic, all right, see the guy there, we need a bounce pass. Got a bounce pass thing.
Old school basketball.
Exactly. Old school basketball. How did you do that so well? And are we ever going to see that again? Or is it just, are we going through a phase where it's more about just whip it up and, you know, if it gets there, it gets there?
I hope it comes back at some point. I don't know if it will with all the influences out there. But, I mean, I could probably speak for these guys. A lot of it has to do with coaching, you know, from when you're real young. You know, those type of passes were stress to us. So we didn't have another choice. You know, the pass first point guard is probably non-existent anymore. It's kind of a hybrid point guard nowadays. But who knows? You know, it may reappear at some point. But I don't know. I mean,
yeah, it's what he said. It's really tough. I mean, not everyone's Eddie Olson, you know, not everyone can throw that pass like he does. So it's unfortunately going by the wayside. But it's unfortunately, where we're at in the game. So,
would you agree, though, that we've lost some of that discipline, some of that fundamental
of course.
Core of the game? It seems to be lacking. We're depending on sheer talent. We certainly had our talent. The Tyreek Williamses, the Tyrese Martins, the Sam Iorios, the Kakarese twins this past year, just to mention five. Not to mention those kids up at PM West were unbelievable. But we're depending so much on sheer talent. I think we're missing some of that fundamental basketball, Brent Williams.
The basics are definitely starting to disappear a lot. Our guys included, we rely on our athletic ability, our talent. Guys like to pound the ball and try to create things ourselves instead of just playing together as a team and understanding that ball movement beats defense is not just one-on-one basketball. And unfortunately, it's becoming more and more apparent. I kind of blame the AAU scene, but hopefully with time we can change that.
All right, our special guest this segment, Brent Williams, Ed Lipinski, and Eddie Olson. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us, sharing your basketball expertise with us, and good luck in the Tournament of Champions coming up in a few days.
Thank you.
Make sure you check out these guys, too, at the Caddy Tournament. That'll be starting a week from Sunday. Right now, it is Keith's favorite part of the show. It's called Growler's Grumblings, where he gets to sound off and talk about anything and everything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, we were just talking about some of the past stars and talent. We certainly wish Darren Hilliard well on his quest to find a new NBA team. I also want to mention your Devin Street, who is another Liberty High star, much like Darren here. I just saw tonight that he has been signed by the Texans. We wish all these guys well as they forge ahead, hopefully make a little bit of a living off their sports talent. I want to go back to the sport of football, the CTE studies and that. It's really mind-numbing news that has come out here about the sport of football. But I just want to tell parents, don't give up on the sport. I believe personally that football and all sports in general, especially here in the Lehigh Valley, when you have great healthcare organizations like St. Luke's and Coordinated Health and Lehigh Valley Hospital Network, we had great doctor care around here. We have more expertise. We have more knowledge than we've ever had. Coaches now they got to follow the rules. We have to have the best equipment. We have to have the best care. So don't give up on a sport like football. I still think sports in general, and football in particular, nothing brings people together like the sport of football, and nothing could teach you more about overcoming adversity, pulling together, discipline, dedication, commitment than a sport like football. I know this news is devastating, and it's really earth-shaking, but don't give up on that sport. I think it's the safest time ever to play the sport of football, and don't give up on that sport as we get ready for another exciting football season. I can't wait for it. It brings communities together. Don't give up on that sport.
All right, time for a second timeout feature of the evening, and Ben Lively has been one of several young pitchers in the Phillies organization that has been shuttled back and forth between Philadelphia and Lehigh Valley. We talked with Lively recently about what he needs to do to get back to the major leagues and also about the competitiveness among the young pitching staff.
You know, just staying locked in your game plan, you know, you just don't stray away from it. For me, is like keeping the ball down and getting ahead early. You know, talking to older guys, and that's definitely one of their big game plans when they go into big league games. I mean, I'm just going to pretty much just work on the same game plan. It worked out for me, so I'll start off on that same game plan. If I have to make adjustments, I'll make adjustments. I mean, I've always said, like, even when I first got here, my first year with the Phillies, we were in Reading with that pitching staff we had there with Nola and Eflin and everybody. You know, you learn from mistakes. You learn from everybody's wins, like how they do good and everything. So either way, you're going to learn from this staff like this, especially how good everyone is.
Welcome back once again to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call, our last summertime broadcast from Buffalo Wild Wings on Grape Street in Whitehall. Hope you've enjoyed our special shows over the summer. We have a special show tonight featuring guests, organizers, coaches, and players from the Caddy Tournament of Champions. And we're happy to be joined by three outstanding players again this year, three-time champions of the TOC from right to left, Steve Weiler, Mike Frew, and Ken Griff. Thanks so much, guys, for coming in. Ken, by the way, is a two-time MVP of the Caddy Tournament of Champions.
Appreciate that.
Got to get it out there first.
Yeah. And we want, Keith, don't mention last night. because the North Caddy Championship was last night. We don't want to go there.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We're just going to talk about the Caddy Tournament of Champions here.
Chris, come on.
I just want to make sure Keith stays on task here.
Okay. First, I need all the help I can get.
Yeah. Caddy Tournament of Champions. You guys obviously have had a lot of success. Steve, you come from New Jersey. Ken, you're driving from New Jersey.
I live in Bethlehem, but originally from New Jersey.
You're originally from New Jersey.
These are the Jersey boys here.
Jersey boys?
Yeah, Frankie Valley. These are the Jersey boys. Yeah.
What was it like, Steve, to come in? New Jersey's a little bit different in terms of their high school ball, but how does it compare in terms of adult league basketball?
You know what? I really don't know because I didn't really play a lot of adult league basketball in Jersey.
In Jersey? In Pennsylvania?
Yeah. I came up here from high school to Moravian, so my really first intro into adult league is out here, and I think there's some differences in playing out here versus Jersey. I think we play a lot faster in Jersey out in courts of PA, but I mean there's a lot of good basketball players everywhere, and there's a lot of good basketball players in the area. So.
There's a lot of teams like Allen. I mean, Doug Snyder came from coaching in New Jersey, and he had said when he first came here, they play that way all the time. And here, the way Allen plays, it's a lot up-tempo. Now we're seeing more teams play that way. But 15, 20 years ago, like when Doug came there, there was a big contrast in terms of the style of play, more half-court game in this area.
Yeah, that's definitely one of the first things I noticed out here. Like, being from Jersey, we played Kenny. We had coaches that are actually good friends, and we played the same styles. And it was up and down, fast-paced, so it's a little different when you come up here and it's a little, you know, they play a little bit slower, but, you know, things change and everyone plays the same way and they all play to win. So,
Kenny, I want to ask you about this TOC, what it's meant to the community. Just to get one of these T-shirts is a big deal. I think people who play adult basketball around here really look forward to this time here. They really look forward to the TOC. They want to qualify to get in. I don't think it's lost any luster, even though maybe the number of leagues aren't the same. But what's your take on it?
I love basketball in the area. It's a huge deal for me personally. I mean, I don't want to say I look forward. That's what I do in the summertime is play basketball. So I want to win. We want to win as teammates. But overall, as the tournament champions, there's nothing better and for my money than the area and having that opportunity to compete in the summertime. And being out there with your guys, your teammates, is definitely a huge part of it as well. But obviously, the tournament champion is something I look forward to every summer. And sadly, we missed out this year, and we'll be back next year.
There was some disappointment then. I didn't look at the scores, but evidently there was some disappointment last night, Kenny, right?
It's always disappointing when you lose. I mean, especially when you lose in the finals, right? But it's an opportunity to learn. We're getting older. There's not many years left we're going to be able to do this. So the more opportunity we get to do, the better.
Steve's shaking his head here. You got a lot more years left.
Nah. We'll see. A lot of years is relative, right? So 4 or 5 more years. I will say that Eric Snyder said that when we retire, he's going to retire. So I don't know if that's true or not, not to break any breaking news here, but we'll see. I'm going to play basketball personally, so I can't walk anymore. So if I can still compete, we're now in the over 35 league. So if we can walk, we're going to play basketball.
Mike Frew, you played in Jersey. You came over here. You're really part of the Lehigh Valley. You're a teacher in the Parkland School District. You coached at Bethlehem Catholic. You're on the Liberty staff now. You're ingrained in this Lehigh Valley community. How do you make that transition from being a Jersey guy to really becoming a part of the Lehigh Valley? Have you adapted to Lehigh Valley style and Lehigh Valley basketball life?
Yeah, I mean, Lehigh Valley is pretty much my life now. I mean, I came here in 98. That was a long time ago. So, I mean, I've adapted years ago, to be honest with you. I mean, all three of us came from Jersey and then, you know, made our way through Moravian College and then ended up sort of settling down in Lehigh Valley. Not a lot of guys that we played with all did. And, you know, summer league basketball, as Kenny alluded to before, was sort of like something that kept us around in the summer. We would pick up summer classes, all play together. I went from being a player in 2002 to literally going, and now the guy on my left and right were like the guys that I was coaching, which was an awkward transition because it was like, you know, roommates to blowing a whistle and yelling at them in practice, which I didn't do a lot my first and second year as a college coach. But we all stuck around and started playing summer league basketball, and it kind of kept us all in the area. you know, and then we found jobs and wives, and, you know, we've all transitioned pretty nicely to Lehigh Valley.
Now you all played at Moravian, and you all coached at Moravian?
Yes.
Tell me about Jimmy Walker, who was there for a long, long time. I covered some of his teams. I don't even know what era it was. I think in the 90s. You guys were, maybe you were on those teams.
We were.
In the late 90s, Mary Beth Spurk had that thing going with the women's, and she's still there. But tell me about Jimmy Walker and playing at Johnston Hall and what those days were like.
Go ahead, Steve.
Good.
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, Walker, he's been there. He was there forever. You know, he was there. He coached. When did he start coaching?
78.
78.
68.
I mean, 68.
58. Who knows?
So, like, you know.
I personally thought he might have been. I mean, he was even challenging as a reporter. If I asked a dumb question, he'd give me a look like, don't ask that question again.
No, he was around there since 78.
He had a certain style. And he demanded excellence, I think, even from the reporters.
Well, you know, I mean, you think about it, he was there for a long time. So, obviously, he was old school. So, like, you know, his way was the way to go, and that's how you had to play, right? It was his style. We went there. You had to play with him. And, you know, he forced your will. You had to play hard, and you had to do what you had to do. And I don't know. These guys coached with him. I didn't have the opportunity to coach them. I only played with him, so they might know more.
Steve had the opportunity to play for him. Mike and I coached with him as well, so we had a different experience with him. I love Coach Walker. I mean, personally and as a coach, he's a, as you say, he's a difficult person to kind of get to know too. But we got the opportunity to play for him, so we got to see the lighter side of him as well. There are not many more sarcastic people in the world than Coach Walker. I'll tell you that. He loves the bus balls. He loves to have a good time. And you don't get to see a lot of those things being on the outside. But on the inside, as a player and certainly as a coach, Coach Walker's awesome. And I love every minute I had at Moravian with him and without him. So it was awesome.
It definitely takes a little bit to get used to his style and the type of person he is. But like you said, he's a guy that's there for you and all that other stuff.
He did so many things for kids behind closed doors that he would never even take credit for. It was a weird experience going as a player to coach and then, like I said, coaching my friends. But the first time the door shut and we had a coaches meeting about what happened and I got to see the other side of what it was really like to be a coach, it opened my eyes really wide because he did a lot of things. Like I said, he had a graduation rate. It was one of like the most impressive things that I've ever thought about as a coach in terms of taking care of things. I think he could count on one hand in 38 years of being a coach that kids that didn't graduate, and he would call guys that were my age now, and I just turned 38 in July, and still try to get them to come back and finish their degree, you know, and he was just that kind of guy that wanted people to do school first. Basketball was a passion of his, obviously, to do it for that long. But he tried to take care of people in terms of their classroom responsibilities and make sure that he, you know, taught them how to be good citizens.
Well, that's what it's all about. And anybody who lasts 38 years, going from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, into the 2000s, the way he did, he must be doing something right. And he certainly did a lot of things right. I will say this, though. I did, you know, we can't root as a reporter. I rooted for Moravian to win because if they lost, it was going to be a tough interview. I know that. But that's the way it is with a lot of coaches. Don't get me wrong. But to go back to the TOC, it's a great event. The camaraderie, when you're playing with guys you maybe have played with for 15, 20 years, does some of those things just come back automatically? You don't even have to talk about where you're going to be at a certain time on a certain play.
Well, we've been playing together in the Caddy League for 15 years. So we've been together for a long time. We've played in other leagues that have competed in tournament champions. The three guys that were on here before, we've all been teammates with them in different leagues. First started out as competitors at the Sales, then teammates in different leagues, and now competitors again on different teams. So just being able to see different guys every night, and now we're at the point where you can hang out afterwards, have a few beers, it makes it even sweeter. But the opportunity to get to the tournament champions and compete in the tournament champions is something that I look forward to every year and will continue to look forward every year that I'm playing basketball.
It's just a fun time. I mean, you play, you win, you talk about being in losing North Caddy, and
and we're not mad that we lost the championship in North Carolina. We're mad that we didn't get the chance to play in a tournament of champions. Like, and that's how big it is, because, I mean, that's the end game, right? You want to win the whole entire thing.
All right, our special guest this segment, Steve Weiler, Mike Frew, Ken Greb. We're going to continue with them in just a little bit. As we go to break, though, here, there's a big event coming up at Buffalo Wild Wings we want to let you know about. They have this great deal. It's called Host Your Fantasy Football Draft Party at Buffalo Wild Wings here in Whitehall on Grape Street. It's now through the start of the regular season. We want you to get on board for it right now, though, because it's only until supplies last. There's a couple different things. There's a free draft kit, and we have lots of things here in the draft kit, including a brag flag. You want to show off the brag flag?
Yeah.
That's the part of the draft kit. We also have a loser license plate.
I would probably get that.
No comment. The draft board, there's all sorts of things with stickers and everything. It's too big to show you. But there's also 10 NFL.com merchandise, 15% coupons, and 10 season-long Buffalo Wild Wings, 15% off coupons. And how are you getting board for the free draft kit? I know you want to know, how do you get on board for the free draft kit?
I absolutely do, because I'm in a couple fantasy leagues. My whole life's a fantasy.
Deliver that line just like Humphrey Bogart. To get on board, you have to have a ticket price. What are you laughing at? Ticket price of a $75 or more for takeout. You have to order at least $75 for takeout, or you must have at least 8 people as part of your draft party to come to the Buffalo Wild Wings here. Call the store right now, 610-266-0527, and ask to speak with the manager and details about reserving your party or your takeout. Again, it's the Fantasy Football Draft Party at Buffalo Wild Wings. You have the free draft kit with all these things you see here. You score the kit when you get $75 or more with a takeout item, or you have a party of 8 or more. The number again, 610-610-266-0527. Ask for a manager and ask to reserve your party and your takeout for the draft party at Buffalo Wild Wings. Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call is straight ahead. Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. We'd like to thank all the people at Buffalo Wild Wings for having us here for our special summertime shows again this year. Our final segments of tonight's show, spotlighting the Caddy Tournament of Champions, past and present. Ken Greb, Mike Frew, and Steve Weiler are here. Eric Snyder, by the way, wanted to be here. Right when I called him, he said, "I love the idea. I'm leaving for a vacation that day." I guess he tried to renegotiate with his wife and leave late in the evening, but that didn't work. But Eric, thanks so much for helping us to coordinate this and putting it all together, and for doing a great job organizing the Caddy Tournament of Champions every year, but also for helping to put this show together. We know you'll enjoy the show when you watch it, when you get back to the Lehigh Valley and watch it on RCN On Demand. You know, we were talking during the break. One of the very interesting things, and it's a nightmare as a broadcaster, because we're trying to put our graphics and our teams together in the starting lineup, but a lot of times team players are double and triple rostered. So you can get to a championship game and, all right, this guy's on both rosters. All right, what are you going to give me to play for you guys, and what are you going to give me to go? You know, there's the free agency that goes on, and it's shell games goes on. Mike, how do you kind of coordinate that with, you know, having players playing on different teams? Do you have to bribe certain guys to come out and play for your team when it gets to a championship?
Yeah, I mean, it's always a tough call. It comes down to which team the guy wants to play with. Sometimes the guy that plays on all those different teams wants to figure out where his best spot is and where he fits in. We've been on both sides of the fence. We've had, you know, in a championship game where a guy has played for another team and it's gone our way, and then also games where we've lost in the championship as well. It's always a tough call and a personal choice for that guy. I've always been loyal to the three teams that I've played on, and luckily, anytime that we've played with multiple teams in the Tournament of Champions, we haven't met up and had to make that call. So I haven't been through it personally, but I've had teammates that have made the wrong choice, and then we hold it over their head and we don't let them back on the team next year. And they're wearing red shirts earlier in the broadcast, but we forgive them and we're all teammates later. You know, so there's a camaraderie. I mean, Lehigh Valley basketball, above all, as a coach, as an old man playing in these leagues, as players that now I coach that I play against or join our team, there's a camaraderie, almost a fraternity above all. So, yeah, you're mad at that guy for some point of time, but it's all water under the bridge, you know, two or three summers later, and, you know, as time goes on. So,
you think this TOC, look, we've lost so much around here in terms of traditions, and I don't want to start listing things like Hess Brothers and Mack Trucks and Bethlehem Steel. But you know what? The TOC, 28 years is pretty darn good run. Do you think it's going to continue for a long time to come? Kenny? I'll start with Kenny.
If it doesn't continue, I'll be very disappointed. I mean, I'm a big proponent. I'm a big fan of what Eric Snyder's done over the last 28 years. And I will continue to support the tournament champions, whether we are in it or not. So I'll bring my family out there. Sadly, we're not in it this year. But I will continue to support Eric and his dream and what he's done here. So I'm very happy with the tournament champions. And I will, like I said, continue to support it no matter what.
Steve?
I mean, I don't know if there's anything more to say. Like, it's if you play basketball in Lehigh Valley, it's what you want to do. You want to play in the tournament champions. It's fun. We're all competitors, and you want to win, and you want to play. But as Fru also said, when we're talking about intermingling teams, at the end of the day, it's all about camaraderie. We play together. You win together, you lose together, and, you know, that's what it's all about.
Well, I like it because and people might say, well, what are we talking about an adult basketball tournament or adult basketball leagues? Because, look, at these guys love to play the game. Again, it's much like the Blue Mountain League. They love to play the game. Yeah, maybe they're not playing for a college scholarship or an East Penn championship, but they're playing because they love to play the game. And it's great action. It's competitive. It's serious basketball, right?
Absolutely.
Guys, thanks so much for coming here. Best of luck for many more years. We hope we can talk about you being champions once again in the TOC.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate all right. Big thanks to everyone here. James Snyder, Joe Murphy, Jason Bogdan, Eddie Olson, Ed Lipinski, Brent Williams, and Ken, Mike, and Steve have joined us for our last segment. Next week, we're going to be back in studio. Our special in-studio guests will be Bob Stemm and Bob Shriver, and we're also going to get a live report from Eagles training camp. That's next Thursday, live at 7 p.m. For Keith, I'm Chris. Good night, everyone.